Let us read together in the Word of God in the Scriptures. First of all, of the Old Testament in the book of Judges at chapter 6. We are studying the names of God in the Old Testament, and we come this morning to the name Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. And the name occurs, first of all, in Judges chapter 6. It's the story, of course, of Gideon. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed over Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens which are in the mountains, and the caves, and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites put in seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east, that's to say the Arab Bedouin tribes, would come up and attack them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land as far as the neighborhood of Gaza in the south and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or ass. For they would come up with their cattle and their tents, coming like locusts for number, both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they wasted the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried for help to the Lord. When the people of Israel cried to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord, your God. You shall not pay reverence to the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not given heed to my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belongs to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, Pray, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where are all his wonderful deeds, which our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And Gideon said to him, "Pray, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I have found favor with thee, then show me a sign that it is thou who speakest with me. Do not depart from here, I pray thee, until I come to thee and bring out my present and set it before thee." And he said, "I will stay till you return." And so Gideon went into his house and prepared a kid, and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot, and brought them to him under the oak and presented to him. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes, and put them on this rock, and pour the broth over them." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and there sprang up fire from the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace," Jehovah Shalom. To this day it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. And a New Testament reading in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 35. "On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care if we perish?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?' And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readings from his holy word and grant us an understanding of it. In our series of morning studies in the names of God in the Old Testament, we turn today to the name Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace, or it can read, "The Lord is my peace," or it can also read, "The Lord is our peace." Jehovah Shalom. And it seems especially fitting that this name should follow immediately on last week's name, Jehovah Tzidkenu, "The Lord is our righteousness." Because in the Bible, righteousness and peace are always closely allied, and they never stand very far away from each other. Last Lord's Day, we were thinking about the three kinds of righteousness that you find in the Bible. First of all, there is imputed righteousness, the righteousness of Christ that is reckoned to a sinner. And then there is imparted righteousness, which is the righteousness in Christ impressed on a sinner's character. And the third is expressed righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ worked out in a Christian's life. And it doesn't really matter which of these three kinds of righteousness you think of. They are all associated with peace in the Bible. The imputed righteousness of Christ brings peace to a sinner's conscience. The imparted righteousness of Christ brings peace to a sinner's soul. And the expressed righteousness of Christ brings peace to a Christian's life. As Isaiah says in chapter 3, 32, and verse 17 of his prophecy, "The effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever." The effect of righteousness will be peace. And Paul picks up that idea at the start of Romans 5, where he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, being declared by God to be righteous by faith, we have peace with God, a new standing in the sight of God, and peace with God." Righteousness and peace, the first blessings of the gospel, and they stand alongside each other. And one of the Psalms, it goes even further. It says that righteousness and peace have kissed each other in friendship. Righteousness and peace have met and embraced one another. And the New Testament makes it plain that it is in the death of Christ that righteousness and peace kiss each other and are, as it were, now married to each other, because righteousness and peace stand alongside one another. And so it's very fitting, therefore, that last week's study, Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness, should be followed today by Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. And the first thing I'd like to say is this, right at the very start, that there is an amazing richness in that word Shalom. In fact, the word Shalom is one of the richest words in the Bible. And oddly enough, the word Shalom, which is a Hebrew word, of course, is far richer and far deeper in its content and its meaning than the Greek equivalent word for peace. You see, the Greek word for peace is Irene. It's the girl's name, Irene. That's what the name means, peace. And apparently, the Greek word Irene is rather a negative and a colorless word. It has to do with the absence of certain things, the absence of disagreeable things from your life. If there's no war and no conflict and no strife, that is the Greek Irene. That's the Greek peace. If your financial affairs are sound, that is Irene. If your marriage is happy and you have no domestic problems, that is Irene. If your children are doing fine, that is Irene. And if you have no moral or spiritual or psychological problems in your life, then you have Irene, the Greek peace. But the Bible teaches that you can have the Shalom of God. And you can have Jehovah Shalom as your God and Father alongside war and conflict and strife and all these other problems and difficulties. In fact, you can be surrounded and compassed with a sea of troubles and still have the Shalom of God in your heart. I think the poet Wordsworth puts this excellently when he speaks about central peace subsisting at the heart of endless agitation. I like that. Central peace subsisting at the heart of endless agitation. And so in the Old Testament, the word Shalom is a rich word with a rich gallery of meanings, some of them actually rather earthy and rather worldly. Shalom can mean wholeness or fullness. It can mean physical health, physical well-being, physical prosperity. It can even mean getting on in the world and being successful. That's shalom. It can mean contentment and satisfaction. And above all these, it can mean shalom with God, rightness with God, a right relationship with God, purchased through the blood of the peace offerings in the book of Leviticus, the shalom offerings which brought peace between the worshipper and God In fact, the word is so rich that Isaiah speaks twice about peace like a river. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You notice how peace and righteousness stand together again. Your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. I recall how my brother Ian, in his days in the Merchant Navy, used to speak about how awestruck he was at the sight of the mouth of the River Amazon when he first went to South America. You see, the River Amazon at its mouth is over 100 miles wide. So that standing on one bank of the river, you can't see the other side of the river. In fact, you would never suspect that you were standing on the bank of a river at all. And in between these two banks, you have this vast, roaring, rushing ocean of water pushing its way out 50 miles into the Atlantic. So that 50 miles out in the Atlantic, you can drink fresh water from the River Amazon. Peace like a river. The shalom of God. Even when you're surrounded by troubles, the shalom of God, which is endless and vast and bottomless and wide and absolutely free. There's a very good reason why the shalom of God is so rich. It's because the fountain of the river is rich. The source of the river is rich. The spring is rich. You see, in himself, God is the God of peace. Peace is not simply something that God comes along and hands you like an errand boy handing you a parcel. In himself, God is peace. And in himself, there is a vast, everlasting calm. There are no storms in God as there are storms in you. There are no tensions in God as there are tensions in you. Listen to these words from Nathan Stone, who was a lecturer at the Moody Bible College in Chicago. Lovely words. Jehovah in his own person is perfect peace. This he must be if he is to be the source of peace for mankind. Of course, God is grieved by the sin and the corruption of the world. Of course, God is stirred to anger by the evil of the wicked. Of course, God is not indifferent to the sorrows and the needs of his people. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I know their sorrows. And Isaiah tells us, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And yet none of these things disturb his peace, in the sense that they cannot destroy or unsteady the perfect balance of his divine nature. God could never give to others a peace that passes understanding if he were not perfect, unfailing peace himself. And this is the Christian's hope and assurance. Time and time again, the New Testament speaks of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as the God of peace. But peace is not something he merely gives you. Peace is something that God is. When he sends forth his Son to be the Savior of the world, he comes forth as the Prince of Peace. When the word of the gospel was first preached, it was called the gospel of peace. And the good news that was heralded to the world by the angels on the fields at Bethlehem was a word about peace with God, as Charles Wesley puts it in his Christmas hymn. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The shalom of God is a rich peace, because the God of shalom is a rich God. And out of these two facts, the richness of the peace and the richness of the God of peace, there comes a question. What is the primary message of the name Jehovah Shalom? Don't you think it's of infinite significance that the name Jehovah Shalom is found first where it is found in the book of Judges? Do you know the book of Judges? It's one of the most turbulent books in the Bible. It's filled with wars and quarrels and tumults, and the tribes of God fighting each other. And when they weren't fighting each other, they were being marauded by their enemies, the Philistines and the Amalekites and the Midianites. The book of Judges is one of the darkest and the most tragic books in the Old Testament. And its tragedy is summed up in its closing verses. Surely you know these familiar words. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, you had the Old Testament equivalent of the permissive society. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was a time of chaos, like our own time. It was a time of lawlessness, like our own time. And the spiritual history of Judges was just as tragic. Revival, declension, disaster, repentance. Revival, declension, disaster, repentance. Revival. The nation turned to God in service and worship and trust. Declension. People slid away from God. They forgot God. They neglected God. Disaster. In came the enemies, surging over the land and stripping the church of God bare. Repentance, the people turning in shame and sorrow to the God they had wronged. Revival, declension, disaster, repentance. Over and over and over again. And it's at the heart of that dark book that God is called Jehovah Shalom. And not only so, the glory of the thing is this. It was to a weakling called Gideon that the name was first made known. What was special about Gideon? Well, his life is easily characterized. It was marked by fear and question marks. Did you notice when we read the chapter how many question marks there were? He was afraid of Midian. He was afraid of God's enemies. You know, the Bible never counsels us to run from our enemies. The Bible tells you to stand up against your enemies in Christ's name. We are to resist the devil. But Gideon was afraid. And that was why he was winnowing corn in a wine vat. Now a wine vat was a hole in the ground. You normally winnow corn on the heights so that the wind can blow the chaff away. But he was afraid of God's enemies. And he was afraid to be seen. He was afraid of himself. That's almost as bad as being afraid of God's enemies. In spite of the angel of the Lord trying to put some courage and mettle into the man, saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor, winnowing your corn in a hole in the ground. The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." But all that Gideon could say was, "Oh, well, if that's the case, why has this happened? But now, oh, there used to be miracles in the old days, but now, how can I save Israel? My clan is the smallest clan in Judah, and my father's house, it's the poorest house in the clan. How can I save Israel?" Full of questions. And he was afraid of his own family. Later on in the chapter, God tells him to take a bullock and sacrifice it, to pull down the altar of Baal and sacrifice a bull to Jehovah. And we read that he did it by night because he was afraid of his own family. You see, Gideon is a good illustration of those two lines from the hymn. Fightings without and fears within. I come to thee for rest. And so he built an altar and he called it Jehovah Shalom, after the God of the altar, and the peace that is preached at Gideon's altar is peace in spite of. And that's very often the kind of peace that a Christian has in his life. It's peace in spite of the enemies of God. and your fears and your doubts and your cowardice and your timidity and your questions? Is there anyone here today whose middle name is Gideon? Are you besieged by problems and cares and difficulties? Are you afraid of God's enemies? Is your heart filled with misgivings? Is your middle name Gideon? Well, you can have the shalom of God in spite of. You see, the peace of God doesn't depend on circumstances. It doesn't depend on what goes on around you. It doesn't depend on having good health. You can have bad health and enjoy the peace of God. It doesn't depend on good nerves. You can have bad nerves and have the peace of God. It doesn't depend on affluence. You can be poor and have it. It's the shalom of God in spite of. Let me tell you two stories in closing. First is about a minister on one of the Western Isles. He was a good, worthy man, and he loved the Lord and preached the gospel. But there was a tragedy in his life. His wife was an alcoholic. And that meant many years of pain for the man. Trouble, heart-searching. And of course a great deal of social embarrassment. And things came to a climax. And the elders met him and told the minister, "This is an impossible situation. This is an intolerable situation. Something has to be done, or you'll have to go." The man said, "I stand by my God. I stand by my Savior. I stand by the gospel, and I stand by my wife." You see, you can say that only if Jehovah Shalom is your God and Father. Is Jehovah Shalom your God and Father today? You can say that sort of thing only if in your heart there is the great calm that comes from knowing Christ. I stand by my God, by my Savior, by the gospel, and by my wife. And the story has a happy ending. One Lord's day in the afternoon, he was sitting by the fire reading the Bible, and his wife came in. She was in one of her scolding, drunken moods, and she reviled him and tore the Bible from his hands and threw it into the fire. And the thing went up in a blaze, and she said, "Well, my man, what do you think of the fire now?" And he said, "Wife, I never warmed myself at more cheering flames." She never touched drink again. Have you got the shalom of God in your heart? Second story is a young lad of 9 who died last week locally. He died of cystic fibrosis. And he wouldn't have had much of a life, poor boy, with all the care he needed and all the specialized therapy. And at last his parents knew he was slipping away, and the boy knew he was slipping away. And they tried to tell him of Jesus coming to take him home, and it didn't bother him at all. Children don't have any problems about death and dying and going home to Jesus. But he kept on wondering how Jesus would come and take him home. One day he said to his father and mother, "I know. He'll send a star. And the star will take me home to Jesus." You see, in all his distress and his comfort, he wasn't shaken. At 9 years of age, he had the peace of God and the God of peace. Do you have both of these today? Or are you a spectator? You know, the Church of Scotland is full of spectators. They just watch. There's a happy ending to that story as well. Because one day the boy was lying in Rigmore with his oxygen mask on. His mother was sitting by the bedside. And he took off the oxygen mask and laid it aside. And his mother said, "Why are you doing that?" The boy said, "I don't need that anymore. I've seen the star." And he went home to Jesus shortly after that. Have you found the shalom of God yet? Have you come to Jehovah Shalom yet? I wish there was time to go on. You see, if you go into shalom, it's even richer than you suspect, because it's a three-dimensional thing. It's peace upwards, peace with God. It's peace outwards, peace with your fellows. It's peace inwards, peace with yourself. Saving peace upwards with God. Social peace outwards with your fellow men. And psychological peace inwards with yourself. But the message today is simply this. The peace of God can be yours in spite of. And Jehovah Shalom is waiting in church today for you. He's waiting to give you his peace. He's waiting to give you himself. Peace like a river. Three-dimensional peace. Peace with God, peace with your fellows, and peace with yourself. And he will give you all that if you come. Let us pray. Lord, our heavenly Father, who hast made thyself known to us so wonderfully and fully in the face of Christ, the Prince of Peace, who by his death has accomplished peace between thyself and us. Write thy holy word in our hearts so that something of the sweetness and the virtue and the goodness of it. May first of all be established in our own hearts and lives, and then in the hearts and lives of others through us. And all of that for Jesus' sake. Amen.